I can't imagine that you meant to say it this way, but I was a little bit thrown by the idea that we should be able to go without being specifically invited, per se, into a fly-in community. Because that makes just that idea, I think, should be quantified with. It's very important, of course, to respect whether people want you to show up
talking
in
about,
the community.
No, I was talking about Ongwe people. I was talking about, like, gathering together a group of, like, native people,
right?
And then those contacts exist, right? Like, people know, like, you know, I mean, that sort of goes back to the same thing. I mean, like, people know people all over. It's very organic. It's very loose. It's very fluid. It's very, you know, like, someone, you know, uncle was from somewhere, or, you know, whatever. And, I mean, in 2001, it was the chief, well, he's actually passed on now, but the then chief in Pikangikum, First Nation, which is north. It's not a fly-in. It's like, to my understanding, I've never been there, but it's like pretty much one of the last of the ones that you can access. I think it's by boat mostly, right? Ice bridge in the winter, but by boat in the summer. And it was the community, it was in the papers a lot in Ontario, I don't know if it was in Quebec. It was dealing with a suicide rate that was 34 times the national average. And it was the chief in that community who called down to Tainanaga and was just like, you know, what can we do? Or, like, you know, reach out, you know, like, is there things that that can be done to help us address this situation? And again, they were in a situation where they were locked in, like, a prolonged, protracted battle with the feds because they wanted to use their traditional territory as an access route for mining and mining exploration purposes, and the community was like, no, on our terms. And so as a result, funding ceased. Third party management, Indian agent for the first time in, you know, decades, all this sort of stuff, school closed. And, you know, in the midst of this, they're dealing with the suicides. And then, so Tainanaga responded, we did a couple of actions. There was, like, the shutdown of the bridge, like, for 14 hours that closed a cement plant. And, you know, all this sort of stuff that was on, it was on June 21st on, what is it called? Aboriginal Day? Anyway, it was on that day, and all the people who spoke about it tied it back to the things in Pikangikum. And Robert Nault at that time, was Indian Affairs Minister, was like, went in the paper the next day and blamed people. You know, if you keep doing this sort of thing, you're going to encourage this. You know, you can't act up, you know, die in silence, basically, was what he was saying. But, I mean, at that time, you know, Louis Quill was his name, said, you know, like, bring people up here. Like, let's, you know, bring them to these communities. People need, you know, to know of people outside and you know, not like the steady stream of media that would come in and portray them as helpless and, you know, they should be pitied and all this sort of thing, but people who come from a shared history and a similar understanding and you know, I mean, that kind of thing. And that's something that we've, at Midwinter Harvest, has tried to do now for a long time, but it's really, really expensive, you know, to charter one of them little planes to go in one place and then go in another place and all that kind of thing. But it's, you know, when my partner Sean worked for OCAP for a short period of time, that was what he was, that's what he did, was he went, like, all through the north, and they would just drive into communities, and it has an impact. I mean, there's no way that anyone can tell me that it doesn't, and it's a funny thing, because you get, like, the situations with the Grassy Narrows tour, or I guess two of them now, where people come down and speak largely to you know, educate about the issues and the things that they're facing. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that doesn't have its place, but this to me is kind of the converse of that, that is never really picked up on in any significant way, and I think that it's just as important. After the thing with Pikangikum, we organized around that same time in 2001, and we brought down like a busload of kids from Pecanjikum. Someone in the community of Tainanega like sold their land to pay for this bus so that these kids could come down. And you know, in the process of organizing that, and you know, when they got there, staring down like however many Toronto police officers who were intent on, you know, disallowing any teepees to go up on Queen's Park and all this sort of thing. I mean, what I saw and what was, you know, apparent to me in talking to folks afterwards was that, I mean, that instilled like, it's like the notion that you can have control over your life, you know, and I don't think that that could be necessarily given by anyone else, but I think that other, you know, Aboriginal communities, and I'm, you know, speaking about Tainanega, has come through a lot and has worked for the last like 15 years consciously to bring language back into the community, to you know, assert the things around the fishing and the hunting and all this sort of thing. And those shared experiences are things that people can, I think, really take on. And we do know that immediately after that busload of kids came down, that the suicide rate dropped, like completely to zero, you know, like to zero, where they'd been dealing with one every 3 weeks, one a month. And I mean, who's to say how, why that happens? But to me, it's significant, and you have to I guess, in, you know, I mean, interpret it any way you want. But I think that there's a lot to be said for, you know, just providing the resources and allowing, you know, those kinds of relationships to be built.